Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To the pregame show for the Seminole Showcase. That's my man, Tom Lang. I'm Jeff Cameron. How are you guys? It's good to be back talking football, right? Little pregame show. Had to do something. I know it's just a showcase, spring game, but it's been a minute since Tom and I got to do a pregame show, so we said, why not do one? Why not preview this thing for people who don't get an opportunity to go to practice each and every day the way that the War Chant staff does? So that's a good thing. Welcome on in. Let's chit-chat for the next hour or so. By the way, those of you in town in Tallahassee, I will leave here from the comfortable confines of the Cameron household at 1 o'clock, and I will mosey on over to the comfortable confines of Hotel Indigo, which, by the way, will have us out there with an open cash bar overlooking the intramural practice facility fields, I should say, and then, of course, the stadium itself. And we'll get together. We'll have a good time. Have a cold beer, too. And we'll go watch some new players and some familiar ones as well. How are you, Tommy?
I'm good, man. I'm missing out on a day like today. I always enjoy the spring game. It's got its own feel to it. It's almost like, and a name is apropos, spring training for Major League Baseball. You know, there's a laid-back feeling to it. You know, there's an urgency when you get outside of Doak Campbell Stadium in the fall for each game because they mean so much. Today, it's about learning. Today, it's about learning what you got. We've seen a lot of what these players have in practice settings, but the lights come on a little bit. The nerves are ratcheted up even from a scrimmage setting. The coaching staff gets to learn today who can rise to that occasion, and it gives them a lasting image of what a player can be for them in fall camp. So missing out on Hotel Indigo, I hear that downstairs is going to be the central area. They're going to have the smoker going, the grill going downstairs of the patio. If you want to go up, get some photos, you can go to the seventh floor, and that's where the deck is that overlooks Doak. But I think headquarters is going to be down there with our guy Mays pouring the drinks today. So
nice. Good to see. It'll be good to see Mays. That'll be good. Good times abound always over there at Hotel Indigo, especially when it's centered around something like this. Good night last night. I got to see a lot of people at the corner pocket. Thanks to everybody who came out. It was a good time. It was a good time. Later on, my former teammate, William Floyd, showed up, and we had a few cold ones as well. And the consummate professional, Tom Block, along with a ton of other folks, Jeff Colhane and others, were there. We had a blast, Corey and myself, and then later Ira showed up as well, and so did Aslan. So the gang was all there. Michael was there. I mean, Gene was there. Tom, we were just missing you, buddy. We were just missing you.
Well, don't tell me all that, man. I already had FOMO, but that sounds like quite the crew. And people are in really good spirits, and they should be. This is a program that, you know, three spring games ago, we were searching. We were hunting, hoping. Who could it be that is a solution on the defensive line? You know, because the defensive line was thin for a long time. Who could it be that that could be a playmaker at wide receiver for Florida State? Where are these answers going to come from? And now we're so far advanced from that point. You have answers at each position. It's just a matter of how deep are you? And is the talent that you have, which it's a lot better than it used to be, but is the talent at the level necessary to not only make a 12-team field for the college football playoff, is the talent at the level that you can compete for a national championship? Last year's defense was that way. When it was healthy, last year's offense was that way. How about this year with all the turnover? Can they generate those solutions? And what are we going to learn about that this afternoon?
Yeah, I don't know how much we'll learn today. It's funny. I was laughing. I see AK in the chat say, nonsense, Cameron, bubble wrap those boys. Have DJ toss a couple 75-yarders and call it a day. I'm with you, man. We reach a certain spot in spring camp where I'm like, okay, seeing what I needed to see. I'm not worried about entertaining the masses. Let's keep everybody safe here and move it on to the fall. But, you know, they will go out there, and coaches do want to see certain guys under the lights, if you will, and see how they respond to a little bit more pressure with fans in the stands, although it'll be a unique setting. I think it starts with quarterback. Let's just talk about that. We'll go position by position today. It's kind of a preview show of some of the guys that we expect you to see and some guys that we've been impressed by. You do know by now, probably, you've seen the announcement if you're out there that we're just looking at two quarterbacks today. The situation's kind of disappointing, I have to admit. I think a lot of people would have loved to have seen Kroman Hawk. They've already seen Brock Lynn. They would have liked to have seen him taking another step. But Kroman Hawk is a kid that obviously highly touted. And comes in, he's an impressive physical specimen. He's a big, strong kid. I can tell you he's looked good in camp. He's fit the bill of a highly touted quarterback. He's got the big arm, throws pretty well on the run. He's a guy that I think you'd be impressed by. But you won't see him today. Unfortunately, he's nursing a minor injury. That is true of Brock Lynn as well. Minor injury, you won't see him. So Trevor Jackson will get all of the second reps, and he's the young man that he himself was a highly recruited individual. He's not your average kind of walk-on, if you will. This is a kid that has real ability, but he is a freshman. And he's looked wildly inconsistent at times because that's what freshmen do. But he'll have an opportunity to get second-team reps. And all eyes will, in fact, be on DJ. And DJ, we know a lot about. We saw him at Clemson. We saw the good and the bad there. I don't know how many people watched him at Oregon State, but they certainly were aware that he was playing and playing well there, especially in the first half of the season last year where Oregon State impressed an awful lot of people. He's a gigantic individual, so you've got real size now. We're talking about NFL perfect size at the quarterback position, 6'5", 250. I think he's dropped some LBs since camp started. He came in, frankly, a little overweight, and I think he's down to probably about 250, 245 now. And his gift is obviously that howitzer for an arm, and he can throw it without really trying real hard, 60, 65 yards. I've seen him throw it as far as 70. So, you know, that's in there, and it's an easy release. So I think that will be showcased with a couple of bombs today because they've got some real targets. They've got real speed on the outside.
Got our first person to thank in the Heisen Leica Law Firm live chat for today's pregame show. And it's Z-Chan, a hero of the week in a different sense. But he's saying hello, and we thank you for the contribution, Z-Chan. I'm sure maybe we could cross-promote here and thank Zach publicly for what happened this week on the Jeff Cameron Show, which is on the War Chant TV network.
Because I'd gladly do it, Zach. If you're watching, brother, I don't have your phone number, and if I did, I would have called you personally to thank you for that enormous gift in helping us raise money for the Second Harvest of the Big Ben, a massive part of what was a huge success for us this past Thursday. Thank you from the bottom of all of our hearts and the folks at the Second Harvest of the Big Ben. Now, back to the football. You were going to say DJ.
Yeah, the gifts that he has, it's not just about the can for the arm. And I love that part of it because, as I've been fond of saying, you're going to open up different parts of the football field that just weren't open to you before. Jordan didn't have a bad arm, but this is something that's different. Where as a safety, you got to change your angles. You got to change your approach. If you're playing pass defense against Florida State, you can't fall asleep at the wheel. If you're a far side corner, you know, a lot of times you'd see the corner shade towards a limit. I know he can only throw this far, so I don't need to worry about a guy running by me at, you know, 30, 40 yards depth. You do with DJ Uiagalelei. You do have to worry about those things. That excites me. It's his brain. Man, this is somebody who has been very polished over the years, arriving to a point where he's in his early to mid-20s. He's been polished his entire career to process the game as a quarterback, and it's the calm body language that you're going to see. Truthfully to me, that the completion percentage thing makes little to no sense. The mechanics look clean. He scans the field. He sees it well. A lot of quarterbacks in college football these days only look at half of the field, and they read it out half of the field. He can turn his whole body, scan the entirety of the field. I do want to see how that comfort level looks today. From what I saw, buddy, only two practices this spring. The first day in pads that I saw to the second day, he was light years more comfortable in this offense. So, again, it's not a live situation. He doesn't have to worry about getting hit. But I do want to see where his eyes go, how his body looks, because he's a very calm person in the pocket. And then once he decides to let it rip, man, does it fly.
By the way, I want to answer some questions on the quarterback situation. We have Garrett asking, is it too early to be worried about Glenn being injury prone? No, I actually think, first of all, I would not call this like, this is not really an injury. He's going to be fine. I'll just tell you that. This is not like last year's situation, Garrett, where Brock got hurt. I mean, he broke a bone in his hand. There was really nothing he could do. It was on a play that he got in a game. It was a sideline play, if you'll remember. A lot of people didn't realize that's when it happened, but he put his hand down. I think he broke his thumb, quite frankly. Now that he's over it, we can talk about that. But breaking his thumb makes it rather difficult, obviously, to throw the football. And he missed, I guess it was 6 weeks, basically. So by the time he came back around, he had missed a ton of day-to-day reps that certainly would have aided in his development. But no, I don't think Brock is injury prone. They're being very, very cautious. This is a situation where either one of those two young men, Cromin Hawk or Brock Glenn, could play. If this were a Saturday in the fall and DJ couldn't play, we wouldn't be starting Trevor Jackson today. We would be able to start one of those two young men, Brock Glenn most notably, because he's got the most experience. He would be able to play. So I wouldn't worry about it. Trevor Jackson, there was another question Tom wants to know. Is him being a walk-on, quote-unquote, a way to get past the NCAA sanctions with the Scholarly limits? No, this was before that, and that was a unique set of circumstances, Tom, as I recall. Like, they had scouted him. They liked him. He was going to go somewhere else and then decided to come back, but we had already brought in Cromin Hawk, and we were – so the situation got weird. We said, well, and we were still interested. We like you. We like your skill set, but we've already brought a quarterback in. We're not bringing anybody else in. But if you want to come and walk on, we'd be happy to have you. And then I think down the line, they plan on maybe giving him a scholarship.
So, yes, exactly. It'll sound convenient because he might end up getting put on scholarship later, but he understood the assignment here that Florida State's quarterback room was pretty heavy. And at the time that he decided to come to Florida State, Tate Rodemaker was still part of the roster. Mm-hmm. And he could have competed this fall. So, this spring in this camp for the starting job. So I think they already thought that they were going to grow him into perhaps a scholarship player even before those sanctions were agreed to. Sounds convenient, but I don't think this was them gerrymandering the numbers or anything like that. They like his skill set, and Trevor Jackson knew exactly what was happening when he was coming in. Mike Norvell said it this week, Thursday's press conference, that they were very clear that they love Luke. If he wants to come compete, he's more than welcome to. And he said yes, which is great. You like kids who understand that there are people above them on the depth chart when they arrive on campus and they still want to compete anyway. Sometimes those kinds of players surprise you because they know that they need to compete every day. So they should be pretty detail sound. But what it sounds like is that they're throwing a lot at Trevor Jackson in a short period of time, more than they would have. And his response has been a little inconsistent, as you might imagine, because you're throwing the work with the twos and an expanded playbook at a kid in short order. We'll see what those results look like today. I'm assuming they'll keep it pretty vanilla for Trevor, so he has a solid Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I'm only going to note his physical tools. They're pretty impressive. You know, he can run around. He's got that evasiveness to him, but he's got a really good arm. He really spins it. So I think you'll see when he throws the ball, you'll enjoy that. I think you'll like to see the way the ball comes off his hand. Another question was whether we could break down what the showcase is going to be, how much will be situational, how much will be real game scrimmage. We don't know. We don't know definitively. I know that, you know, you've got former players competing against one another as play callers. So I presume there's going to be a scrimmage nature to this, to some degree, but in previous spring games, showcases, as they're called now, they have done situational football. They have had, they've done goal line. They've done 2-point conversion stuff. They've done red zone. They've done, you know, the game itself, typically, if I'm being honest, is just really more about laying your eyes on some players, like a guy like Malik Benson. A lot of you have not seen Malik Benson yet, not in a similar uniform anyhow. And you're going to want to watch this guy run routes. He's fluid. He's fast. I think he emerges eventually as the guy in this receiving core. He's also been a wonderful leader since he's got here. He's really kind of presumed the role. He's a smart kid. He really thinks about his answers when you talk to him. So I think he has a chance to be a kind of a star here at Florida State. Jaylen Brown, the LSU player with a lot of speed. You'll watch him get behind defensive backs. You're going to want to see that. Obviously, you marry that with some of the receivers that they already had here, and Hakeem Williams and Darion Williamson and Deuce Spann and Kentron Portier and guys like that. So you'll get a glimpse of all those guys. And then you'll do the same position group by position group. Just feast your eyes on, Sam Singleton, Jalen Lucas, Cam Davis, the running back room, for example. You've already seen Keziah Holmes. You've already seen maybe Roydell Williams. Sorry, I forgot Roydell Williams. He's another guy who probably going to be the feature back, if I'm guessing, moving forward. Although I think the balance in that room is something to behold. They've got styles for days, however you want to play it. guys that catch the ball in the backfield, guys that make you miss in a phone booth, guys that can run over you, guys that run downhill, guys that are shifty, guys that are gimmick guys, you know, little screen passes that get lost behind the line of scrimmage and break a long one. They've got a lot of variety there. So today's really a day, if you're going to the showcase, even if you're watching at home on the ACC network, I think just try to find, you know, pull up a roster. You can do it. Go to Seminoles.com and pull up the roster and look at numbers and then try to feast your eyes on some of the new guys you haven't seen before.
Yeah, go at like 3:30 so it has a half an hour to load. The thing I would say about the way the format works, Mike doesn't share it with us. That's his choice. For example, when they had two-point plays a couple of years ago,
it was stupid.
Nobody knew that was coming to start the day. We didn't know if it was goal line or two-point plays. So that's why the quarterbacks forced the ball even more than making some bad decisions, was because it's a do-or-die moment. We didn't know. And then they got into the scrimmage part of it. What the general form it's taken in past years is they play a half of football that kind of resembles normal without special teams or quarterbacks being hit, but a normal half. And then the second part of it is when the guest coaches, a guest coach emeritus here on the left side of the screen, that's when they take over and they go through some situational stuff as well. We'll see. I hope they don't start with two-point plays. I don't believe they did last year. But when that happened a couple of years ago, everybody was confused as hell. And we started out with, I think, three consecutive interceptions, which is, you know, it's not ideal because everybody was so jazzed to see the offense, and then it kind of ruined the moment a little bit. So we'll find out what Mike Norvell has planned for today, but I can't imagine they'd go back to that well.
I was trying to find my damn playbook, Tom, while you were talking there. I have my playbook somewhere around here. I usually keep it close at hand to remind myself.
I just hoping the dog was okay. I'm like, please tell me the dog's all right.
No, the dog's doing okay. She's a weird situation there. But anyhow, yeah, so that's it. We don't know the format. We don't know how they're going to do it. Yes, there'll be some sort of scrimmage element to this. Just don't go in. I say this about every era of spring football. Going back to Bowden. I'm just telling you, I don't go into spring games, showcases, whatever the hell you want to call it. I don't go into these things with any expectation of being wildly entertained. It's educational. I'm going to take a look at certain players. And I would say this, honestly, if I'm a fan and I haven't had access to practice, I want to see guys that are new to the team that are expected to be a big part of their success, you know, that are going to be relied upon. I already know what Patrick Payton looks like. I may check him out to see how much bigger he's gotten. You know, you read the reports on warchant.com, you know, he's put up 15 pounds on that frame. So you'll get a good look at him and you say, okay, but what does, you know, Marvin Jones Jr. look like? I haven't seen him, right? That's the five-star we all wanted. Ended up going to Georgia, transferred in. You've heard us talk glowingly about him. What's he look like? I want to get a good look at him. I want to look at Grady Kelly, the kid from Colorado State coming in here. You know, what's he look like in the interior? Lola Hea, guys like that. You know, you want to see these players. So, Jerry Jaya, you want to see all these guys that you get excited about that you haven't had a chance yet. So that's really what I would look at this. You'll get a chance to see their athleticism. You get a chance to see their size, the way they fill out a uniform. And you might have some moments where in reps they do something that really flashes.
Yeah, you're going to be impressed with a couple of players' size. Like Marvin Jones Jr. right away when they cut to him on camera. If you haven't been to Warchant TV and checked out those practice videos, which why haven't you? Head over to Warchant TV. We've got hours of footage at this point from all of the practices that we're allowed to shoot. I think 15 minutes a day or thereabout. But his explosiveness, too, as an athlete, I think is going to stand out to some folks. Their Jaya size will stand out. The two guards that you brought in from the SEC in Ferguson and Richie Leonard, I mean, that's 650-plus pounds of pure mass. This is all the fun stuff that you get to look at and say, wow, in our uniform, he looks larger than this guy that we used to have, or he looks quicker than that guy that we used to have. But for me, when you start watching the game, I, like you, look at situations. Is that speed going to play? When you get to see it either in the stands or on the camera, and you're so used to watching Trey Benson cut a corner, is this guy quicker than that? Ooh, that's going to work on third and six. That's going to work on third and short. Little situational nuggets that you get to learn because we don't get to see the scrimmages. So there is something novel for us in a setting like this. They go 11 on 11 all the time at practice. But in this type of setting, in a game-like setting, you get to see how somebody plays from a view that you're used to. So little things that you can learn today. That's what the post-game show will be about. I mean, we're going to get calls and things like that when Gene and I do the post-game show just after the spring showcase is over. But for me, there are no broad takeaways. You're not going to end this thing saying 13-0, baby. We're doing it again. Back-to-back ACC champions. You're just going to say things like, Malik Benson's a good route runner. Or Jalen Lucas looks even faster on television than he did in person. That type of thing.
FDFC asks, does Jalen Lucas get used in the passing game? Yes. Yes, he does. Frequently. Mostly. That's kind of what he does. That's, I think that's a big aspect of what he's going to bring to the team. He's a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. And look out, if you're a defense and you take a wrong angle, peace. He is gone. And he's also a guy, guys, that I tell you what, if you're a defender, it's maddening to face a guy like Jalen Lucas because he gets lost behind the Giants. He gets lost amongst the trees. And you can't find him. And there have been a lot of incidents this year in practice or situations this year in practice in the spring where linebackers and defensive ends are trying to find him. And the next thing you know, he scoots out of there and it's boom. I mean, he's just shot out of a cannon. That speed is breathtaking, breathtakingly fast.
So here's something that we don't necessarily talk about, but when you have a new player on campus that you know that you're going to use in the fall, how much of the spring game is about putting somebody on film to make your defensive coordinator that you're about to face in the early season scared? I mean, I would think that you would want to show Jalen Lucas speed and feature that on a play or two so that if you're getting to Dublin, Georgia Tech has to think about that. And so when 13 comes on the field, they got to think about it twice, that Jalen Lucas is out there. We have to account for him. Maybe use him as a decoy in an early setting for an early play. Do you think Mike thinks that far ahead?
I don't think anything is left to chance. It's funny you say that because that's the other way of looking at it is don't do that at all.
Right.
You know, the other way of looking at it is we're not going to show you anything with Jalen Lucas. This is our secret weapon. You'll see him in Dublin at Aviva Stadium, and you'll see his ass and his elbows as he takes it to the house because you didn't realize he was that kind of fast. So that's the other part of it, you know? So Mike isn't big on, you know, hiding things. They are who they are. They want to do what they do. And, you know, coaches are funny. When you talk to them about how much do they hold back as to not put on film and give away things, they are far less secretive than people think. Coaches are of the mindset that your personnel is your personnel. You do what you do. Your offense is your offense. If it's within the realm of your offense, it's been seen because opposing coordinators are going to go all the way back to when he was at Memphis and before to look at tendencies, and they're going to see everything that he's ever called. I mean, that's how thorough they are in preparation for games. So there's nothing new under the sun unless you're inventing it on the go.
Yeah, there's a good story that Tom Block, who you mentioned, told about Jeremy Pruitt way back in the day. Ho Par Ho, the defensive coordinator. How when Tom would go in to do the weekly defensive coordinator's interview, something that nobody else got to do because Jimbo was the only man that spoke to the press,
He'd
have to walk between gaps of pieces of paper on the ground. Essentially, Jeremy Pruitt would cover his walls and cover his floor with paper that has situations that never are going to happen in a game, situations that come up from the offensive coordinator from 2007, and the year was 2013. And there were little gaps between those tiles of carpet where Tom would have to walk through almost like a tightrope just to be able to sit down and talk to Jeremy Pruitt. And then he said on his shelf were binders of every game he's ever called, every opponent he's ever gone against, and the post-game scout after what went right, what went wrong. Coaches are extremely thorough. The thing I would say in this case is Mike lets us into practice, and all we've done this camp is talk about the speed of Jalen Lucas. And Jalen's speed is on film at Indiana. So Georgia Tech, SMU, whoever, in the beginning portion of the season, they know that we're going to use that weapon. So my inkling is that they're going to try and show it off a little bit today.
Well, it certainly is something that will enthuse fans. I mean, the first time I saw it, we were at practice. The first time they went pads, and I said, who the hell is that kid? And because you're looking at numbers, and we get the rosters to start the week, and a lot of guys change their numbers in modern football. It's ridiculous. And everybody can be any number they want anymore, which is also ridiculous. So nothing is ever indicated by what the number is. So like back in the day, you know, if you saw Daryl Jackson wearing number six, you'd be like, well, this is stupid. What defensive lineman is wearing number six? But not nowadays, they do that. So it's hard. You got to get used to all this stuff. So I didn't know who that was. And when I looked down, I'm like, that's the kid. That's the kid from Indiana. Oh, my Lord, is he fast. And how did Indiana, how did Siggs let that guy go? I mean, he's their best. He had to be their best player. Anyhow, so, yeah, you'll like him. He's a player. Know the Rules asks, haven't heard much about Lester. How has he looked in practice? Since I've heard this has been the best recruiting class to come in and compete for spots. He is a joy to watch in practice, and he's a talented player. And I'll tell you that once they put on the pads, he did much better in week two than he did week one. He was getting abused in week one. He was welcome to college football in week one. He got thrown to the ground, made to look a fool several times by wide receivers, and it never dampened his spirits. He loves the game of football. He loves to practice. If I were a coach, I'd love that kid because he's just so excited to be out there, and he is talented. But as the camp went on, he got better and better. I don't think they expect him to do much this year in year one, but he is somebody to look at as we move on down the line. Sacknoll writes, with it being a spring game, are we just looking to see effort and athleticism, or is there something you are looking for that will carry over into the fall?
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Tom, I know what I'm going to get out of Daryl Jackson. I know what I'm going to get out of a lot of the players that we've seen in the past. I'm just looking to see how this flows, what they're doing with this newfound speed on offense, and, of course, the big arm at quarterback. Other than that, I think we have a pretty good gauge on who these players are. So I don't think anything in a spring game is going to change my mind necessarily about what the team will or will not be.
No, there are some players that, like, without getting into practice stuff, because of the knowledge we have at practice, I want to see where they line up. You know, like, there's cross training at every position, right? So there could be a member of the secondary. I want to see, are they going to play him at nickel today? They're going to play him outside corner. Could be an offensive lineman. Are they going to play him at tackle today? They're going to play him at center. They're going to play him at guard, things like that. And the first thing I'm going to look at is when our offense takes the field, who are the five on the offensive line? Who are the four in the defensive line? This is what I do every time that they go 11 on 11 in practice. Who's going against whom? Because if you've got a walk-on or you're doing like a little rotational thing where it's not your frontline guys, and let's say you've got a walk-on against a third-team offensive lineman on the right, I don't care about the right side of the offensive line. I'm looking at the left because you might have a starting left. You might have Daryl Jackson and then Ferguson or Richie Leonard on the left. Okay, I'm going to watch that matchup. So that's how I parse through these things. But I mean, everybody's a little bit different, but I'm looking for little details like that. That's how I watch the spring games.
Marcus, the game's at 4:00. I saw the question come in. Richard asked, if coaches are not as secretive as we think, why is it that very few programs allow media access to practices? The ones that do, like FSU, limit what you can report on. Well, they don't want you calling plays in practice. They're not going to let you write up specific nuances to plays. They'd rather opposing teams have to prepare. But when I say they're not as secretive, they understand that their tendencies and what they call and what they do in their history as a play caller, for example, or a coordinator, has already defined them. Most coaches, Jimbo Fisher used to tell me this all the time. He said, when I call plays, yeah, I mean, there may be a way I attack a certain defensive look. There may be a way that I attack what I've seen as a weakness on film. But I don't go into games thinking that the opposing defensive coordinator doesn't know what I like to do on offense. I know they know who I am as a play caller. I know they know that this is the offense I run, whether that whether you run some variation of spread or run and shoot in the old terms or whatever it might be, people know that. If you run tempo, they know that. If you want to run, everybody knows, for example, that Harbaugh had a lot of variations in the run game as to the way they blocked it and the way they set it up. But they were going to run the ball. They were going to be physical. That's what they were going to do. Nobody was shocked to see that on game day. They know that that is his philosophy. So those things are all out there. The big thing about the practice limitations is they do not like reporters to ever report on even mild injuries. They're very sensitive to injury talk. They don't want people to know who's out there and who's not out there at practice if it's an injury situation. So if a guy's got a mild calf strain and he's only going to be out for, say, 7 days, he probably will not address it. He won't tell the press, hey, here's the injury. This is the young man that's going to be out for the next week or so. What he might say is, I know you guys didn't see 22 out there today. He'll be fine. He'll be back. And that's the end of it. But they don't want you to write like, hey, I saw so-and-so get hurt at practice today. He limped off the field, had to go into the tent. They don't want that kind of report.
Yeah, and that's going the way of the dodo in the next 3 to 5 years. You're going to get more injury transparency because of sports betting. I mean, right now, they've already come for college football prop bets and college sports prop bets in several states. Mm-hmm. And they successfully got those taken off the books. So we will see what happens. Hopefully access continues to practice when injury rules get more stringent and you have to report who is active and who is inactive every day. The NFL does it. You get to see it Tuesday through Friday and you see full participation, limited participation, and then an injury designation. But you're correct. It's about injuries more than anything else, at least for Mike Norvell. There are other coaches out there like Jimbo used to be, like Nick Saban was, and they'll show you the same stretch period for 10 minutes and they kick your ass out because they don't
the
want
you. The thing with that Saban did that and then everybody followed suit, and it stinks because if coaches really thought about it for a moment, the very publicity that they're seeking to get for their program, the notoriety that they want, the fan support that they're yearning for, they want all these things. Well, that's derived from the conversation about their teams, their players, and the results that is provided by the press. You would want that. Bobby Bowden understood this concept very early on as he built a dynasty, that it was a nothing program when he came in. He thought the best way to have it become a program would be, A, to kick ass and win some games, but allow as much press access as possible so that people wrote stories about your team. And the way you can control that and you can control the narrative is to say to a press corps, listen, I'm going to let you come watch practice, but there are some rules. Here are the rules. Understand? You violate those rules, you're out. Okay, guys? I can easily revoke this. But I want the publicity for my kids. I want the publicity for my players, and I want this program to be spoken about. So follow those rules. Come out to practice. If your opinion, Mike has told me this directly, Jeff, if your opinion differs from mine, I don't have a problem with that. I know what your job is, and I know what my job is, and we can agree to disagree. However, if you go on the radio and start talking about kids' injuries, I will revoke your access to practice, and then I'll have a real hard time with you. So it's just you play by the rules, you're going to be okay. That's the way it works. We're very, very lucky to have a coach who gets it, who's forward-thinking and modern, as opposed to some of these antiquated coaches who are paranoid about guys violating these aspects of the injury clauses.
What we'll see today that I'm interested to is formationally how they go. They haven't done anything, and I'll say this, maybe it is speaking a little out of school, they haven't done anything crazy that I've seen in spring. Like, for example, two, 3 years ago in the fall, I guess it's 2.5 years ago now, the flea flicker for the LSU game, they ran all kinds of tricks that whole fall camp, even a little bit in spring. They had all kinds of weird wrinkles and tricks, and they repped it to death so much that the defense anticipated where the ball was going to go and the trick play. So I don't even know that they got good reps because the linebackers are like, well, my assignment might be over here, but you guys are just going to throw a little Philly special over to the right. They haven't done anything crazy, but what they are doing is they're installing an offense with a lot of new pieces with different skill sets, drastically different skill sets than they had last year. You've got a larger quarterback who can't run as well as Jordan Travis did. You've got more speed at receiver. You've got larger offensive linemen, especially in the middle. I don't know that you've got a breakaway speed running back other than Jalen Lucas. Certainly not anybody in the mold of Trey Benson's body type that goes along with that speed. So there's a lot of differences. I just want to see what they decide to show today formationally and how often they go, say, three wide versus how often they go double tights, two running backs. All those little things are going to be fun to see.
If we're projecting what we think this team will be based on personnel and some of what we've seen in spring, I think it's important to note and to wrap your mind around this as we head towards fall, that I think that Florida State is going to be very, very basic. And you are allowed to be. Thank you very much, Connor. I appreciate that. Thanks for chiming in and saying nice things. Appreciate you supporting us. You guys are great. Watch JC and Tom every day. Appreciate you, Connor. I think that typically what ends up happening is the more talent you have, the more generic you can afford to be. This gets back to having better players. And to me, for example, and I use this example all the time, every NFL team and every NFL defense knew that Randy Moss wasn't going to go across the middle. He didn't like going across the middle. They also knew they were going to run him on a nine at least seven times a game because dude ran like the wind blew and had a 40-something inch vertical and was 6'5". The whole world knew it was coming. They couldn't stop it. I don't care if you shaded a safety over. You were screwed. If you didn't get to the quarterback, he was going to make the play. Hence, he mossed everybody. Well, that's as basic a play as it gets. That is true of teams that like to run downhill. You want to run a veer? It's been run a million times in the world of football, and everybody knows it's coming. Good luck if the guy running said veer is Herschel Walker. This is kind of – the game is simplified. The formations are simplified with the better players you have. Not that you won't throw wrinkles and variations off of it. You absolutely will. But I think Florida State can afford to be less exotic because they're not having to conjure up a running game out of nothing the way they did 3 years ago.
It was fun to watch them go through that exercise and fight as hard as they could to generate explosives in the run game, because that was 2020 and 2021. You know, they're just trying to generate explosives because they knew they weren't going to win first down, like, period. But today, what excites me, as you were talking about running downhill, is I do want to see these new weapons on the offensive line, the two new guards. I want to see how much Estes has grown. I think he's had a decent camp.
He's had a good camp. I've been pleasantly surprised.
Keandre Jones, I want to see how he fits in. Darius Washington has been entrenched as a tackle this year. I want to see how he looks, you know, play after play, assuming that they do give them long stretches of time. But the agility of those guards, I mean, you can get to see it in field level, but I'm not a coach. I didn't play in high school. I don't have the background like that. The higher I go up, the more I can compare what I see to what I have seen in the past. Well, let's just say we want to run counter a lot this year again. Maybe we do. Seems like a bread and butter play of ours. Okay. How about Richie Leonard or TJ Ferguson pulling? How athletic do they look versus a Dylan Gibbons versus a Dimitri Emmanuel versus some of the guys we've had the last couple of years?
Richie Leonard is extremely athletic for that girth. Nobody should be that big and carry that much weight and have that kind of athleticism when he pulls. He's a good player, man. They got a good player when they brought him in here. I think that that's going to be something that may stand out if you get to see him do that today. You're right. It's going to be fun. Listen, this for me, and let's go through all this. We mentioned quarterbacks at the top. It's DJ and Trevor Jackson today, guys. The other two are out with minor injuries. If you're going to look at wide receiver, I'm going to list it for you. Malik Benson, Jaylen Brown, Ja'Kai Douglas, Deuce Spann, Kentron Portier, Derion Williamson, Hakeem Williams. No Destin Hill today. That is most unfortunate. Destin Hill was having a great camp. It devastates me that he's out. That's all I'm allowed to say about that, but he's going to be out for the foreseeable future. Running back, the forgotten man, Lawrence Toafili, is still a vital running back for this operation. Jalen Lucas is the speed guy. Roydale Williams is the transfer. Keziah Holmes is a nice player. Jalen Lucas is an unbelievable freak of speed and kind of a gimmick guy. Cam Davis is the freshman running back that comes in with legs the size of Texas. Let's not forget, you know, did I say Sam Singleton? Good speed out of him, too.
Yeah, one cut and go. I put a list in the Renegade room for War Chant Gold members today of just some dudes that I saw in practice that I'm excited for folks to see. And Sam Singleton's one of them. You know, I don't know that he's got the vision of a great back, but if it's one cut and go, at least at this point in his career, man, that track speed is for real. And he carries a lot of weight. He's not a slight guy. He's got a good build, but 28, I know it's a legendary number in the program. Feels strange to say 28. Probably should retire that straight up. Nobody else can wear it. Both days I was there, explosive plays. So if they break one open for him, they break a seam, watch that kid run in the open field. It's fun.
I'll switch to the defensive side of the ball for a moment. We'll start with the defensive line. You guys already know, obviously, about old batted balls Peyton. Patrick Peyton will be the star of this group on the edge because this is a money-making year for him. He's a good player. He's gotten better every year he's here. He's also gotten bigger. He's put on 15 pounds. You'll see him. Byron Turner will be out there. Lola Hay will be out there. Marvin Jones Jr. will be out there. You'll see guys like that. Should be a lot of fun. That group is I think the front line group is pretty talented, and I think they got just enough depth. you could maybe go bring in a guy if you wanted to, if the right guy was out there.
Yeah, and to answer a question from before, Tom asked about, are they going good on good? Again, we don't know how they're going to line it up. Coaches make decisions unilaterally. It could be based on Thursday practice, maybe a couple of guys coming with bumps and bruises. It's very last second. Jimbo tried to regiment this thing when we were really deep as a program, Garnet versus Gold. They'd have a draft and they do all this stuff. I don't know how much we're going to see good on good. I don't know who they're going to hold out. This is something that checking warchant.com and the tribal council as we get closer to kickoff to see who's in full uniform and who's not is a good thing to do. But if they do go good on good, you do have some trench battles that are going to be a lot of fun because a guy like Durajaye will be somebody that's fun to follow. How much does he play inside at defensive tackle? How much does he play defensive end? They've got some young tackles and young offensive linemen that are going to be fun to watch too. Andre Otto is a personal favorite of both of ours.
Yeah.
That's not a throwaway rep or throwaway snap. If you get an Andre Otto against a Sione Lolohea or something, or you get an Andre Otto if they want to cross train him and he's going against a Grady Kelly, like I'm locked the hell in on those plays because the offensive line has more depth. So does the defensive line. So we'll see how they line up against each other. But those matchups, DVRing the game to go look back at seeing those, some of those matchups is, I think it's critical stuff.
ACC Network, for those wondering, also the kickoff once again is at 4 o'clock. Interior of the defensive line, let's go there again. The star is Darryl Jackson. I think he has a chance to be one of the best defensive tackles in the country. He has been a menace in this camp. He has ungodly size. It's NFL size through and through, 6'5", 335. He wrecks things when he decides to take over in practice. He's a guy that they have to double if they're trying to get anything done. So don't know what it'll be like today. I just know what I think he's going to be this year. He has also taken a huge step forward emotionally and in maturity. I think you're seeing a guy that maybe the light bulb went off. I think Florida State's going to get a season out of this kid, and it's the light bulb season. Hasn't had it yet. And everybody's been, it's been tantalizing to watch this guy who looks like that and think, well, I'd like him to be in our program. And at first it was Maryland, then it was Miami, then it's Florida State. And nobody's gotten greatness out of him yet. And I think this is what's going to happen here for him this year. Josh Farmer's been limited in camp. I don't know that he'll give it a go today, but he'll be his running mate. Grady Kelly is the transfer I referenced earlier. Daniel Lyons, KJ Sampson, all guys you'll see. Durajaye is another one that you'll see in there as well. They can move him around. So we'll just, you know, those are some of the names you want to look at. Yeah. Riley asks, but if they don't play four quarters of good on good, how will we be able to draw unreasonable conclusions about how good or bad we are?
That's the thing. It's a good cautionary tale, tongue in cheek as he might be.
Yeah.
You know, last fall camp, Florida State was not good in pass protection, was really good at run blocking. In the season, Florida State was really good at pass protection and not so good at run blocking. It just, when you go against yourself, sometimes the tendencies, there's ways guys cheat because they know your strengths and weaknesses or the coaching staff sequences calls. You know, it's just, it's hard to draw conclusions other than to look at a player almost individually in a vacuum and say, he's strong, he's fast. The good news is you're going to see a lot of that today. Darryl Jackson, you're right. It has clicked for him in a way. He plays with joy and ferocity and violence. He'll let the offense know when he makes a play, and he does a lot. There are players like that that will drive you nuts for the entirety of their career. Eddie Goldman was a very frustrating player to that end. Here's a lower key one, Jarrett Jackson in recent years. Jarrett Jackson, there were plays where he would pick up a 330-pound offensive lineman with one arm and chuck him to the side and make a play. And you'd say, well, there it is. But there was never any consistency. Darryl Jackson does that and more. And he's doing it with greater consistency.
Linebackers, DJ Lundy will be the guy you know and recognize the most. Obviously, Lundy's a guy that real good against the run, not so great against the pass. If he knows where to be, he can be an effective run stuffer. Omar Graham Jr. is battling back from injury and getting healthy again. I know they're excited to see what he becomes. I'm less excited. Blake Nicholson is a player that can really run and has tried to put on weight. I know they're trying to get him up into those 230s. Now, I will tell you, Adam feels very strongly that he has taken a big step up in his physicality against the run. I will be interested to see that today, Tom. Does he do it in a game-like setting? Because he's really good in coverage. He has been since the day he stepped foot on campus. Can he hold up in the run game? I'm interested to see that. Justin Crier, I know you're going to speak on Nicholson. I'll let you do it in a second. Yeah. Justin Crier is a player that I like a lot, maybe most of this group, the player that I think has really emerged. And Sean Murphy has not impressed me this camp. See how he does today. He's the transfer from Alabama. I think he's kind of been a little in over his head. We'll see.
I was hoping that would take a different turn, but it just looked like he's been thinking a lot. He's been trying to assimilate the information about playing the defense instead of playing free. But you have to learn the intricacies of the defense. A linebacker is extremely important for alignment, angles, rules that you might have specific to your defensive scheme versus, say, Alabama's. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. But what I was going to say, it wasn't just about Nicholson. Last night, Mike Norvell, I know that he's in a rah-rah setting where he's trying to get people fired up at a battle's end meeting where he's trying to get people to part with some hard-earned money to make the football program better. But to go on record and say that he is beyond pleased with the linebacking core, that's a fascinating thing to me. Again, this coaching staff has been praising Blake Nicholson and Criers look good, and DJ Lundy, I think, has taken a bit of a step. But for Mike Norvell to go on the record, knowing that people are going to report that and say that he is beyond pleased with the linebacking group, that's unexpected from before camp to where we are now. It looks like they have generated more depth. They might need somebody, an over-the-top type player, a bona fide starter, but there are more options at the end of camp as we get here than we thought maybe there would be before camp, at least speaking personally.
Yeah, I'm interested. The modern game of college football does not really feature linebackers the way that it used to. You don't see too many of these 4-3 teams anymore. You had your classic OLB and the Mike linebacker and the outside linebackers, and you kind of just those three guys did what they did. That's not really the game anymore. So you have a lot of hybrids at the position. It is nice every now and again just to see a classic linebacker, just a classic 235-pound sideline-to-sideline menace. There's one in the transfer portal right now. So we'll see if that ends up happening for Florida State. But, yeah, linebackers are interesting for me. Obviously we usually have two on the field at one time. So I am intrigued by them today. The secondary is pretty well loaded, guys. If we're going to get into that, we're going to look at, Azaria Thomas, obviously, and I Shaheem Brown. These are guys Fintrell Cypress, I think they're pretty well stocked at a lot of these places. I mean, you and I have talked about Quindarius Jones. We like him a lot. Conrad Hussey, we like him a lot. I love Earl Little Jr. I think he's going to be a real good player. I don't know how much action he gets today as they bring him back off of injury. There have been guys that have been real surprises. I think Devontae Brown is a guy that comes into this program as a redshirt senior. He's played a lot of college football. That's a big, strong kid. KJ Kirkland is big and long. Kai Bates. They got a lot of folks over there that I'm excited about.
I know that we've got one commercial break that we need to hit before we're done, but before we do, the two guys that I didn't see a ton of in camp are the two last name Brown, wide receiver and defensive back, Jalen and Devontae. I didn't see a whole lot of them those 2 days, but I'm hearing good things from you about Jalen specifically, and it seems like we might have a safety option, and it makes a whole lot of sense. There's two levels of connection there when you're bringing in Devontae Brown out of Miami. Randy Shannon had coached him at one point in his career when he was a starter. And then, of course, Patrick Surtain, his position coach, knew him from high school as his coach, and it's his position group. So this is a very educated guess that you're going to take on a player. You know everything about him and what he's capable of. But today, hopefully, we get to see something out of Jalen Brown and Devontae Brown, because I'm interested to see what it is they could bring, either as primary rotational players, or is there some work to be done? Because I do think safety, for example, is a position that it could be of interest in the portal if we don't generate some more obvious options. We've got young talent, but you might want one more steady veteran hand. Devontae Brown could render that point moot if he has a good day today and he continues the momentum from the end of camp.
They have a lot of options, and that's the most exciting thing about the secondary, is that if they're not happy with a guy, they can turn and look and find three or four very long, athletic, sizable dudes to try to fill that role. So they can mix and match. They can do a lot of different things with these players. I'm excited to see how they use them. I don't know that this issue will be settled before we get into the fall. There's just still a work in progress. Now, here's what I'll tell you. We got a quick commercial. We'll run that now, come back, and give you our final thoughts on the Spring Showcase pregame show.
Attention, Florida. Are you a victim of an auto accident? We introduce our live chat sponsor, Heisen Leica Law Firm, dedicated to representing injured clients statewide. If you've been in an accident, call Heisen Leica Law Firm at 813-803-0733 for a free consultation. Remember, there's no cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with Heisen Leica Law Firm, the name you can trust for justice. Call 813-803-0733 now or visit HeisenLeicaLawFirm.com. Heisen Leica Law Firm, your advocate in times of need.
We're back. One more reminder. We want to thank all of our fine folks there at Heisen Leica Law Firm. If you're a victim of an auto accident, we introduce our live chat sponsor, Heisen Leica Law Firm, dedicated to representing injured clients statewide. That phone number, by the way, 813-803-0733. Free consultation. No cost to you unless they win. Your interest comes first with the Heisen Leica Law Firm. Name you can trust, 813-803-0733. You can visit HeisenLeicaLawFirm.com. HeisenLeicaLawFirm.com, Heisen Leica Law Firm, advocate in times of need, offices, Tampa. Final thing to say here, buddy, I think that people are going to be impressed with the speed. I think that they're going to be excited to see the strength of DJU's arm, and I think they'll get excited to see the new faces on defense. In particular, whether it's Lolohea, Derajae, or Marvin Jones Jr., are all exciting players that I think people will be like, ooh, I'm impressed with that guy.
Yeah, and Briley asks a good question about this. He's talking about Coach Norvell's comments last night, and he's asking, did he seem more effusive than normal? It seemed that he was more willing to write checks with his mouth that this team will have to cash. Strongest, fastest, specific miles per hour barometers that they're hitting. Like, for example, he said that Marvin Jones and Patrick Payton both are over 20 miles an hour when they run in a straight line. I believe that, by the way. Marvin Jones is, you could see why he was a five-star. But I do get the sense coming out of a lot of these press conferences, these post-practice talks, Mike Norvell gives off a vibe where it feels like he's saying, that's more like it. Now that's what I'm talking about. And I don't think it's necessarily for the top end talent. I just think he sees his program depth developing to a place where it's exactly what he wants. It's constructed the way he likes. He missed speed and he wanted more size, and they went out and they got that done this offseason.
I think that the program is at its most talented in his time here right now. So he's excited because they're building on their successes. Year over year, they're raising the floor of talent. We're seeing greater depth and greater competition. So I think he's very excited. I mean, look, they just went 13-0 with a team that didn't have as much talent as this one does. Doesn't mean they'll go 13-0 again, but it's certainly something to be excited about. And we'll see. We'll see. You know, they don't have a at least I haven't seen a Keon Coleman yet at the wide receiver position, but they've got a depth of talent and speed they didn't have last year either. So, you know, yin and yang.
He likes variety, and they've got variety at all skill positions. They've got a lot of different pieces of running back for whatever situation you want, third and two, third and 13. You've got somebody for each one of those situations to pass pro or to be a bulldozer, go right up the middle. If you want somebody over the top that lifts a lid, makes a safety think twice, or makes a defensive coordinator shift the safety over, you've got that. If you want size, not as much as last year. It's hard to have it when Johnny Wilson and Keon Coleman are your top two, but they do have size. It just needs to prove a little bit more. It needs to bear out a little bit more with a player like Hakeem Williams. Malik Benson is just a freak of an athlete. He's really fun to watch. I want to see how refined he gets within the offense, within his routes. But in the open field, if you can get him the ball and he's quick enough to go get it and snatch it, he's got moves in a phone booth that'll make you miss, and he's electric in that way. They need to clean up on some details, but it's spring. You should be feeling that way, that there are details to clean up. They just have a variety of things that they can throw at you, and I think Mike's base feeling is he wants to be sound in the running game and then multiple after that. So you don't know what's coming next.
Got a better opportunity to do that this year because of the speed and the size that they brought in. I think he was frustrated too last year. They couldn't lift the lid and they couldn't run the ball. So it's really kind of amazing they went 13-0. But I mean, it's exciting. I mean, you think about what that means for the program if they're able to get back to some of those things. It's a game changer. They got to keep getting better on the offensive line. They weren't good enough last year. It's not all roses around here. I mean, they're not where they need to be on the offensive line yet. They're not as dominant on the defensive line as you want them to be. I think that they can improve there. Their frontline talent's been good. Obviously, what you saw from Braden Fisk last year and Farmer last year, and obviously when Fabo could play, he was good, and they were very good with Verse off the edge last year along with Patrick Payton. I think they're only going to get better as they continue to add size and depth where they can really wear offensive lines down. And I think that's true on the other side of the ball, right? Last year, didn't get great play out of the tackles at all. I thought guard play was suspect as well. I thought offensive line was the most disappointing aspect of last year's football team. They could take a big step forward this year at that position. So things to think about as we enter into spring, we talk about raising the floor of talent. Where are you? Remember, and I do this on my show on a daily basis, the Jeff Cameron Show, weekday afternoons, 1 to 3. I will tell you that any more of the conversation, it's relative. All of them are. But when we're comparing and contrasting and talking about teams, I'm holding them to a standard of greatness now. I think they've graduated into the realm of how do you compare to great? How do you compare to championship level? How do you compare it to future national championship caliber teams? That's really the standard. When FSU is operating at peak efficiency, that's what you're comparing them to.
Yeah.
So when you hear us say, I think they're lacking in an area, it's by way of comparison to national championship competition and talent.
Yeah, and the offensive line, this is a big day, I think, for Jeremiah Byers at right tackle. I mean, he's got to show that he's better than he was last season. This has been a big camp for him. I think the returns have been okay. But you don't feel like it's locked down on that half of the offensive line, that tackle position. He needs to continue to get better. You don't want to end this season, even though they're good players. This isn't a knock on them. You don't want to end this season saying that your best two offensive linemen are Darius Washington and Maurice Smith. You've got to have a conversation, even if they are at the end. You've got to say, well, Richie Leonard was really good, or TJ Ferguson was really, or how about Estes coming in, giving us valuable snaps in that top eight rotation? That's good stuff right there. Last year, by default, dudes who have been here since I was in school, and Darius Washington and Maurice Smith were our two best offensive linemen. We've got to get to a better place than that. The defensive line last year, you could have named 3-4 players and legitimately made cases for why they could take over games in certain stretches. Hopefully the offensive line gets to that place this year, but they are deeper. Most everywhere on the field, they are a deeper product than they were the year before. So hopefully, whether they're good on good or they mix them up, you're entertained throughout the day, because that's what depth does, is it keeps the level of play high and the entertainment factor high. We'll see how they sequence it out this afternoon, though. That's always a mystery.
That'll do it. Good times to be back with you guys. My boy Tom Wang, I'm Jeff. We appreciate you watching War Chant TV, subscribing to warchant.com, and being a part of all that we do. Now I'm going to head in the car over to Hotel Indigo and enjoy a little pregame festivities with everybody. Do not forget, of course, we'll have all the coverage for you. We'll have the game coverage with Ira and Corey doing what they do, and probably a post game there as well in terms of a wrap that they'll do. And then I know Tom and Gene will get together for the post game show right here as well. So you got to want to head over to War Chant TV after the game, and certainly read all the stories on warchant.com.
And don't forget to stop by. I know you got some gear that you want to snag over from Garner and Gold, their new Pensacola Street location. Well, it's the same location, but they've redone it top to bottom.
Beautiful.
It was old, man. It was an old building. They've now redone the whole thing, so stop by there on the way in. And if you see anything that's cool, snag something for me, please, and send it up.
I got to call Tara. I forgot to call her and ask her about whether or not I can come in and rob the joint.
As you should. Rob for me as well, because that's where the vintage store is. So if you got some old throwback stuff, you know I like that.
All right, good kids. Be good, everybody. We really appreciate you joining us always. And for Tom Wang, I'm Jeff Cameron. Go Noles.